The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it is Wednesday, April 28th. We are one day away from the 2021 NFL Draft, and it is time for some bold predictions about what will happen on Thursday evening and then beyond, but mostly for the first night. Make sure, and after each evening's festivities have wrapped up, to join us on YouTube for live reaction shows, youtube.com/pick6. You can follow us there. Subscribe to get an alert when we go live, and we will do that after the draft wraps up when Ryan Wilson gets done with his on-site Cleveland video requirements. He will chat with me and John Breach about the draft. They join me now for some draft ball predictions. What's up, fellas?
Hi. I'm in a great mood. I'm just saying that to overcompensate for this time of year, me being angry and short and us getting comments that I'm not being as polite as I should be. So I'm
and Brinson, let's not count our chickens before our hatch. These the shows might not happen. We don't know if any of us are even going to be alive by Thursday night. So
Thursday will be fine. Sunday is the problem, according to
either way. We don't know.
Right. Make sure and check out in the feed a props preview with RJ White. I hadn't talked to RJ in forever. And we broke down basically how to bet the entire first round. A lot of value is gone in terms of the stuff, some of the stuff you can bet. But I think that if you've been following along on this podcast and listening regularly, you would have been getting actionable gambling items as it relates to NFL draft props along the way. So hopefully you're fully loaded to bear and willing to stomach the pain of Mac Jones going third overall with me.
Wah, wah. We need the sad trombone. Get on that.
We need a sad trombone. We also have a draft mailbag in there. And if you want to leave a mail, an all future offseason mailbag, well, I'm sure we'll do plenty of those. You can do that by leaving a 5-star review. Ask any question you want about any team, any, and if you want to do a post draft question that works fine too, you can ask anything. We will answer it. Breach. Now is where I normally would read a promo, but instead I'm going to ask you to promote. What's great about your Pick Six newsletter that you do every day?
You know what? You get 6 fun facts every single day, except they're not actually facts. It's kind of like 6 mini stories in one. It keeps you updated on everything that's happening in the NFL. And you know what? If you miss one of these podcasts, guess what? We've got the summary of the podcast there. So you kind of know what you missed. Subscribe to the newsletter. You will not regret it. You get me and your email inbox 5 days a week. There's no downside.
It does feel like you get a personalized message from John Breach every morning. Well, Cody Benjamin one morning. While you're at it, make sure and check out the Fantasy Football Today crew, because they'll be live for all 3 days of the draft, breaking down the fantasy impact of the picks. Join CBS fantasy analyst Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, Heath Cummings, NFL analysts like Pete Prisco, and some guy named Ryan Wilson, plus former players like Brady Quinn and Bryant McFadden on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Also, nice promo work. Breach and I will be on there Saturday. What the heck? Go to Fantasy Football Today YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Get your questions answered in the chat room and start your 2021 fantasy football prep early. Remember, everything live on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Just a draft show, a fantasy draft show. Ryan, are you excited to talk about fantasy football?
Yeah, I was on the Fantasy Football Today podcast earlier this week. I was on Fantasy Football in 5. Breach, listen to this. They have a 5-minute podcast and they keep it to 5 minutes. And I don't know if you were on the podcast pre-pod the other day, but I have never had any sort of conversation with Brinson on the pod or otherwise that lasted less than 5 minutes.
I was going to say, if we tried to do that, the intro, the podcast would be over. We wouldn't even get to a topic ever.
It takes five. What do you even do? I don't understand what you're doing five. It's different though with fantasy because you can say, give me a list of five guys you need to add. I mean, would you just want to cover the five biggest? We're doing a second podcast and cover the five, the six biggest stories, pick six and five.
All right, no, pick six. No, dummy. It's pick six and six. It's right there in the name. So easy.
No. Okay, and you cover six topics in 1 minute each.
To be fair, we do pick six in 60 minutes or more. So that's sort of close.
Look, podcasts aren't meant to be.
The funny thing is when, I think Jenny Dale does this, especially when she's HQ in the morning and when she's reading the pick six promo, she always says, get your NFL news in 30 minutes or less. Like from where?
Yeah, like it's just the old promo. Where
are you listening to the first half of the podcast and the second half?
Well, it used to be a 30 minute show. That was the whole goal. And credit to EK, our pod czar, for always having in mind the idea that you could do a quick hitting, daily podcast
that's how EK sold the podcast to Debo. He said, no, it's only 30 minutes. You won't have to waste half your day doing it.
Unfortunately for EK, the first person he tapped to do that was me. So that was your mistake, EK. Although should have seen that coming.
And everyone's way of getting back at you was to snub you from your own promo that you just read.
Well, I don't care. We're on just Saturday for whatever reason. And I got to deal with my son all weekend too, apparently. My wife is leaving town. Good timing, honey. Thanks for that. Anywho.
Keep your heads up, Robbie. You can do it.
Enjoy your iPad, son. Let's get to some draft predictions, some bold predictions. So we're going to do regular predictions we'll do both. We're going to have regular predictions and bold predictions. Although I think all of mine are kind of bold. I don't know. We'll see. Breach, you can start. Give us a draft bold prediction or designate if it's bold.
You know what? Good.
People need to understand that when you make a prediction about a mock draft is just 32 predictions, but a bold prediction is inherently designed to be.
Mac Jones goes first overall to Jacksonville. That's bold.
That would be extremely
bold. I think there's a line between bold and stupid though.
Sure.
Let's
Bengals draft kicker. Bengals draft kicker number five.
All right. Breach, you start us off.
Well, I'll say, Brinson, I feel like I am on the same page as you are. I feel like all my predictions are somewhat bold, so I don't really have a regular one. So I'm going to start off with, me and Ryan have similar predictions, so I'm not going to start with that one. I'm going to start off with Penei Sewell falls out of the top 10.
What?
10.
That little bold right there?
That is absolutely bold. This is a guy that's been described as a generational left tackle. Wilson, do you think that the buzz around Penei Sewell is too high.
No. And I've been saying this forever. If the draft's February 15th, we're not having these conversations. So this is what happens when you stretch it out. But Breach, what is your path?
All right, here's my path.
Before you give the path, by the way, his over under at William Hill currently under 5.5 plus 140, over 5.5 minus 170. So the expectation is that he will last to at least number six.
I like the over in that, but go ahead, Breach.
Yes, I also like the over. Well, so the over under is basically you're betting on whether you think the Bengals are going to take him. And I do not. I think the Bengals are going to go with Ja'Marr Chase. So let's say that happens. The Bengals take Chase. So now what happens to Ole Penei? Well, the Dolphins maybe take him at six, but maybe they also want to get someone who can catch passes. So they could go receiver. They're no lock. And then also you have to consider there could be a couple quarterbacks left on the board. So if you have the Broncos take a quarterback, you have the Panthers take a quarterback, or maybe you have the Patriots try and trade up for a quarterback. So let's say five quarterbacks go in the top 10, which sounds crazy, but is at least plausible, would you say, Wilson? Maybe that should be the bold prediction. Let me write that down. So anyway, that's it right there. You have five quarterbacks. Then you get a couple guys like Ja'Marr Chase, your Jalen Waddles, your cornerbacks, guys that can go in the top 10. All of a sudden, Panay's still there at 11. So it's a somewhat bold prediction. I'm not completely sold on it, but I think there is a path for it to happen.
So I was just going to point out that our friend of the pod, very good friend of the podcast, a man known as Wildcard, Adam Beasley, at Adam H. Beasley, who writes for the Miami Herald. Beasley is actually just a good friend in real life.
Also a skeptic of Breach running that 45-minute marathon.
Sure, like any reasonable human being. So on Tuesday, the Dolphins traded Eric Flowers to Washington, former first-round pick who's has not panned out for anybody. He's had a couple moments where he sort of bounced back, but generally hadn't panned out.
Struggled as a tackle, kicked inside the guard, was a little better.
Send him to Washington. And the tweet from Bees that is important here said that the Dolphins are indeed moving Robert Hunt to right guard, and Panay Sewell is a possibility at pick six, source tells the Miami Herald. So, in other words, the logic would be that second-round pick last year, I believe, Robert Hunt, now a guard, you have an open spot at tackle that you can draft. But this is my thing on this. And I tweeted out and Dolphins fans got really mad. I think...
I saw you backtracking too.
Well, I mean, it was mostly a joke. I don't think it's entirely true. Last year at this time, everybody and their brother, I think including Prisco, including you, Ryan, got fooled by Chris Greer and the Dolphins smoke screening about how much they hated Tua Tagovailoa. And they were, we're out on Tua. Maybe we'll look at Herbert. We're trying to trade up for Burrow, but we just don't want Tua. We're not going to take him at five. Maybe we'll trade down. I mean, they were leaking everything and it was so transparent and obvious, but it technically worked for them. As I noted, their stupid smokescreen technically worked because they got to stay at five and draft Tua, who was who they wanted all along.
And it technically didn't work because they didn't take Justin Herbert.
That's right, because they took the wrong quarterback. I feel like this is another smokescreen from the Dolphins the week of the draft. Well, hold on. But
I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I think what they want to do is they want to try and put pressure on a team to trade up to four with the Falcons to take Panay Sewell ahead of them. I think they believe there are a couple teams, maybe the Lions, who I don't think will trade up. But
why would they care, though, if a team trades up?
Because if if a team trades up and takes Panay Sewell at four, they're guaranteed Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase at six. Because right now, they're either taking Panay Sewell or Jalen Waddle at six.
Well, and the other part of this that – so I made my prediction before that trade went down this morning, but I still think it's possible, despite the trade, even though the Dolphins might be more open to taking Panay Sewell unless Brinson's – crazy smokescreen theory is plausible, which it is because it's draft season and every smokescreen crazy theory is plausible. The other part of this, though, him falling out of the top 10, is that there's a good chance that teams might like Rashawn Slater or even Christian Darrisaw better. I mean, we saw on Prisco's mock draft that he thought Christian Darrisaw was the best tackle in this draft and have him going the highest in the what your team should do
overall
draft. Right. So if one of those two guys or even both of them goes ahead of Panay Sewell, then, you know, he's almost certainly falling out of the top 10. And the other part of this is there have been multiple teams that have come out and said, you know what? We're a bit antsy on guys that didn't play last year. We've heard the Steelers say it. We've heard the Cowboys say it. I can't think of the other team off the top of my head, but there's been three or four teams that have said that openly. There's probably a few other teams that are thinking it privately. And, you know, offensive line is a position where you want to see what a guy did last year. Well, you don't have that with Panay Sewell. So there's just enough question marks that I could see him dropping out of the top 10.
And by the way, Daniel Jeremiah has Rashawn Slater ranked higher than Panay Sewell. I don't. I like Panay better. And also.
Yeah, and DJ said that there are a lot of teams or teams that he's spoken with, several teams at least, that also have Slater above Sewell. That's not surprising.
It's not a lot. I've talked to folks who disagree and they think that he's a guard, but whatever, either way. Adam Beasley also, when you read what he wrote up in the Miami Herald about the trade with Eric Flowers. He did say what he said in the tweet, in that this opens the door for Panay Sewell, but he also, Beasley does, thinks that it's still going to be someone like Jalen Waddle. So to your smokescreen point.
And what's interesting, I think, too, about this whole Panay Sewell thing and the discussion about him, I agree with you, I would take the over at 5.5. It seems like, I chatted up our buddy and friend of the podcast, Paul Daner Jr. Mm-hmm. I was just curious about, I was reading an article of his about Sewell and, you know, the pluses and minuses of the Bengals going Sewell or Jamar Chase. And,
you know, it's funny. I texted him last week about that exact same thing.
Well, I mean, given my personal financial stake in Jamar Chase going before the sixth pick or before the seventh pick, I was quite interested. I think it does sound like it's still not 100% Jamar Chase that they're going to go at five breach, but, you know, Dana and I were sort of going back and forth and like, If you look at how this draft plays out, I think for the Bengals specifically, to me, it makes more sense to go Chase and then one of the offensive linemen or two of the offensive linemen, maybe in round three as well, that you can get at those spots. Like those combinations are better, I think, than say Sewell and.
Think about it this way.
Well,
Breach talked about this too. Would you rather have the best offensive lineman and the fifth wide receiver, or the sixth or seventh offensive lineman responsible for protecting your quarterback and Jamar Chase?
But that offensive lineman for the Bengals is not going to play tackle this year. So you're going to draft
him. I think they would play tackle. If it's Penei Sewell, I think he's playing tackle, and I think you're kicking Riley Reiff inside. Because here's my problem with all the Bengals fans that want Jamar Chase. And I think Jamar Chase would be a fine pick. But the reasoning I'm hearing that they want Jamar Chase is because, hey, look, it's a deep line draft. We can get an offensive lineman later in the draft. Well, that argument works both ways, that if you take a lineman at five, it's a deep receiver draft. So you can go grab a receiver. And as Ryan just said, do you want offensive lineman one and wide receiver six, or do you want wide receiver one and offensive lineman six, seven, or eight? And so I think if you can get the best player at a position, you would prefer to have the best offensive lineman over the best receiver.
And by the way, T. Higgins was wide receiver six or whatever. He worked out okay. You got to protect Joe Burrow, I think. And I mean, I love Jamar Chase. Yeah. But
so are y'all going to go Penei Sewell in your mocks?
Well, with Brenton talking about the guy wouldn't even play tackle, but you're also hinging your hopes on Riley Reiff. You know, like, the Vikings let him walk. If you are a great tackle in the NFL, your team's not letting you go. So this is a Vikings cast off. And, you know, I think he's going to be decent with the Bengals, but there's no reason to think he's going to be an all pro caliber tackle. So if you can improve at tackle, I think you have to go for it.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. No, I'm not going to go with Penei Sewell at five, only because I don't think the Bengals are going to do that. And I would like to try to get these, as close as possible to correct, which means I get three right out of 32.
All right, Wilson, a bold prediction from you about defensive players.
I'm going to do this one, and Breach had this one on his list. I'm assuming he didn't copy off me, but
I switched it, so I'll do a different one.
We'll
all discuss it, because this is we'll roll in some props. Just throw the thing out there.
Yeah, it's a joint effort. It's a joint, to quote Spike Lee. A defensive player isn't among the top 10 selections. So, you know, we know the draft order at this point. So, we know it's going to happen 1, 2, 3. At 4, the Falcons ain't taking a defensive player. If they trade down, they're not taking someone who's trading up, is not taking a defensive player. The Bengals, no. Dolphins, no. 7 of the Lions, maybe they take Micah Parsons. They don't have issues with his off field. If they trade down and someone trades up, they're probably taking a quarterback, maybe even a wide receiver. The Bengals at 8, maybe they take a cornerback. That could be the first realistic landing. Panthers, sorry. Yeah, that would be something. The Bengals traded up to 8 and took a defensive.
I would love that.
The Panthers at 8, assuming Justin Fields isn't staring them in the face, or Trey Lance. They could also trade down, but I don't think they want to trade down that far. And then at 9, the Broncos could make some sense. And of course, 10, the Cowboys, could make some sense there as well. But maybe they want to trade down, if they feel like they can get a cornerback later or an edge rusher or whatever. So I think there's a chance that maybe you get to pick 10 before you get, or pick 11 before you get a defensive player. And the thing is, and I tweeted about this earlier this week or maybe last week, it could be the first time in 40 years of the NFL draft that a defensive player isn't among the first 7 selections. And if it doesn't happen until pick 9, it'll be the latest a defender was drafted since 1957, when the Chicago Cardinals took, anyone know, at number 10, 1957?
Oh my God. I think I saw this the other day. Now I'm forgetting. It's somebody famous, right?
No, it's not. I did this research and people tried to steal it. Andrew Siciliano, I saw you. Jerry Tubbs. He didn't steal it. He just said that no one's in the modern
era. Yeah, they have a whole draft. They have a whole research team that cranks out there. Just NFL research. I don't have to worry about sports.
I'm kidding. Syracuse alum, Andrew Siciliano.
So, Breach, your bold prediction that you were going to go with was 9 of 10. Or this is a regular prediction, I guess, but 9 of 10 first round picks were going to be offensive with one defensive player in there. And I'm assuming you're looking at the Cowboys here.
Right. And just real quick to kind of tag along with what Ryan is saying, in the Super Bowl era, there's never been a draft where all 10 of the first players selected were offensive players. There's always been at least one defensive player taken. So that's, what are we at, 55 drafts in the Super Bowl era? And so my 1 of 10 is that's only happened once ever. So it's really in 55 of the 56 drafts, there's been 2 or more defensive players in the top 10. The only draft where there was one player taken in the top 10 in the Super Bowl era, one defensive player, was the Mean Joe Green draft. So that's it. So the odds of no defensive players being taken seems low because it's never happened. The odds of one defensive player being taken seems low because it's only happened one time in the Super Bowl era. So it's not very common. Ryan just went down the path of how it's going to happen. And yeah, Brenton, I think that either the Broncos, if they don't take a quarterback, might end up taking a defensive player. And then the Cowboys seem like a good bet also.
The closest this come to happening was 1999 with Champ Bailey, as a tweet from Ryan earlier this week points out. You know, usually you can get, like, sometimes you get to five or six or something like that. But typically speaking, you're getting a defensive player taken early. To me, it's not necessarily that the offensive players are that great in the class. I think there's just no defensive linemen. There's no edge rushers, right? The defensive tackle class is really bad. And the edge class is not great. There are just questions and red marks about
red. The edge class is good. It's not great. It's not like the defensive line class is
there's no elite edge rusher. We've been talking about that for, you know, and every one of them have red flags.
No, every one of them doesn't have red flags. What are you talking about?
Who doesn't have red flags?
Who does?
I mean, Jalen Phillips.
Okay. Who else?
Gregory Rousseau.
What's his red flag?
Didn't he skip last year?
He opted out. That's not a red flag. He just didn't play last year.
Yeah, it's going to be a red flag for some teams. No 2020 team.
Well, red flag sounds like, you know, they went on a murdering spree or something.
No. Just something that doesn't allow themselves to.
Oh, okay.
No 2020 tape is a red flag. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not is because it? You, not is because it? You chose.
Jamar Chase is going five, so it's not that huge of a red flag.
It still adds something to the equation if you opted out. Not about your football character.
You got red flag dunked on.
No, if you don't have any 2020 tape and you haven't played football in 2020, Trey Lance.
I thought you meant like they were all like
excellent. No. Yeah. And then, you know, Quiddy Pay doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with him.
Lack of sacks.
that's Jason Elway, but okay.
But, you know, you've heard some medical stuff about some of these guys. There's nobody that you've said it all along. There's no Chase Young. There's no Bosa brother, et cetera. And that's the difference maker on why they could fall.
Also, I will note, I just put this tweet in Slack that I tweeted out last week. When you look at these names of guys, and in 2011, I missed Von Miller. He actually went second and Marcel Darius went third, but it used to be a run 10 years ago, even in going back after that. You were taking defensive linemen first, second overall. You're taking like linebackers first or second, like old school Ray Lewis type linebackers. And that's sort of gone away. Cornerbacks didn't typically go that early. We saw Pac-Man Jones go. I'm laughing because they took Pac-Man Jones, but he went six overall in 2005. And, you know, he certainly had some rough passes before he got it together in Cincinnati, towards the end of his career. And,
I mean, the last time a non-edge player was taken as the first defensive player in the draft was 2012 with Maurice Claiborne. And that was a bad pick, you know?
Not a great pick, yeah.
I mean, typically speaking, in the modern NFL, the only reason you're really reaching for one of these guys is, if you have a bad team that's drafting up top, you're probably looking at a quarterback. And there's always two or three quarterbacks coming out. 2013 didn't really have any, but other than that, you know, we have had them. There's no elite edge guy. There's no great defensive tackles. And so a cornerback is not going to go in the top five in a class with Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, et cetera, and some good offensive linemen. It's the economics of the draft. It's not some shift in philosophy about how teams would draft. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay. So from a gambling perspective, the over under currently at William Hill, this has moved up one player. It was at 17.5 early on in the process, and that got absolutely obliterated by people who love the over. The over-under for total offensive players taken in round one is 18.5, over or under.
18.5 for what again? I'm sorry.
Total offensive players.
Oh, Lord. Let me consult my latest mock draft and do the math real quick.
Well, you're going to have Trevor Lawrence. You're going to have four quarterbacks taken, right?
There's going to be a run on these edge guys that you're talking about and the cornerbacks in the second half of the round, though. Defensive tackles.
No, I'm saying let's get to our floor of offensive players. Four quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Yep. Five.
Five quarterbacks. Excuse me. Yeah. Five quarterbacks are going in the first round. I think you can definitely say three wide receivers are going. That's eight.
Kyle Pitts is nine.
Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater are 10 and 11.
Christian Darrisaw, 12.
You think Darrisaw is definitely a first rounder?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. I'm going to lean on you more.
What number are you at now?
We are at 11.
Man, 19 is a lot. We're at
12.
Elijah Vera Tucker.
Elijah Vera Tucker. That's 13. I agree with that.
All right. Where are we going now?
So the question is, will we get to five wide receivers? I think we will. The over under receivers is 4.5 and it's minus 300 at this point.
But to hit the over on offensive players, you're going to need teams like the Packers who are on the, you know, like they could go either way. That team's going to have to go offense, and any, the Lions could go either way. Teams like that that could go either way are going to have to go offense if you want to hit an over of 18.5.
You're going to need five wide receivers and then two of Tevin Jenkins, Samuel Cosmi, Creed Humphrey. I'm looking through Pete's what I would do thing now.
I would take the under.
I think I would just stay away from it.
Yeah, there you go.
But I agree. Generally speaking, I would lean towards the over on that. It's easy to get to 18. It's a lot harder to get to 19. And you're right. These teams at the back end of the draft, you know, I don't think you can guarantee that the Ravens, you know, the Saints, Packers, Bills, Ravens, and Buccaneers are going to take an offensive player. You know, those teams feel like they could.
The Ravens may not. I mean, the Ravens could take they could take an edge rusher, and then they could take, a safety or something.
The Bills could take a defensive player. I don't think it's a lock that they'll go offense.
I know our guy, Chris Trapasso, has been tweeting out he doesn't like the idea of the Bills taking a running back, which they've been rumored to do. But again, the media rumors at this point, who knows what those mean? JLC did report that the Ravens are actually taking calls about the 31st pick. So if they trade down, you would imagine a team would want to trade it for an offensive player. But, you know, are you going to risk that going over 18.5 waiting for a team to trade down to help you get over?
Also, the question is how many running backs get taken?
1.5. I don't even know if I like the over on that. I do like the over, but the reality of it is people keep thinking the Dolphins are going to take Najee. I've heard Rappaport tweeted out that he doesn't think he gets to the Steelers at 24. I don't know. We'll find out. But would the Steelers take ATN? I don't know. Would they take Javonte Williams? I don't know. So you're banking on a team that wants a running back going for option number two if the guy that they like isn't there.
So in your latest mock draft, Ryan, your first 11 picks are offense. And you still only get to 17.
And I traded. I think that's one right.
Like that's, a first 11 picks are offense and still only get to 17.
And imagine having the over on 18.5 in your hand and you see the first 11 are offense. You're like, I'm going to just go cash this. I'm going to spend this money right now because there's no way it's losing.
And I had five wide receivers go as I look at it.
Yeah, it really is all going to hinge on those last few picks and whether, you know, you have Kadarius Toney going in there, you know, do the Saints go offense? They really feel like a defensive team this year. You know, what do the Jaguars do with their second pick?
So I had 17 at 31, the pick 31, and then I had the Cowboys traded up to pick 32. Oh, you've already lost it. If you have the overs, 18.5, so it doesn't matter. Okay.
Right. You know, you have like Carlos Basham going in the first round.
Yeah, I think he actually ends up going in the first round.
But it's totally possible. People love Carlos Basham. He's a stud. But if a guy like that goes in the first round, that's the interesting thing about this draft.
And the other thing is, like, Tevin Jenkins going to the Colts, they need offensive tackle. They also need edge rusher. So what happens if the offensive tackles are gone and then you're losing one there?
And they're going to play it based on their board. Maybe they trade down, but they're going to take the best available player on their board. And if their best available player is a lineman, great. If it's an edge rusher, they're probably going to go in that direction. It's fascinating to look at this draft because I think once you get to 13.
What about 17.5? Would you take there? Would you take the over on
17? I would take the over at 17.5. Yeah. It's just once you get to 13, I think basically 14 to 32, you can write any name you want in there within reason and no one should give you flack for it in a mock draft.
Even without reason, because there's some crazy things that happen. Like the Seahawks are not in the first round this year, but they annually pick crazy guys that no one saw coming.
Right. Rand, you know, we don't think they'll trade back up, but you know, people were killing Pete for Jamin Davis. Why did I can't get his name right? Jamin Davis, and you know, he's like, I'm the best linebacker in the draft. I don't think Aleem McNeil will go in the first round, but his number's getting steamed, and I think he's a really good player. So you know, you never know anything.
His pro day,
and Pete has six quarterbacks going in the first round.
You read his pro day?
No, Aleem had his pro day yesterday. He had another one yesterday.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Should have walked over there.
Too busy reading those tweets. Oh, we didn't talk about your terrible tweets from years past.
That's right. A couple more draft related things. Defensive players over under 13.5 defensive players.
Well, 18. What do I have? 17. So 17, that's 22. No, that's 30. Sorry. So yeah, I got more than 13. So they over 13.
You have 15 defensive.
Yeah.
I would probably feel more comfortable going over 13 and a half defensive players than over 18 and a half offensive players.
Well, that's because if you just get one in the top 10, maybe two, then you're feeling fantastic about yourself because it's almost a
look. You could get two. The Panthers, the Broncos, the Cowboys could all, two of those three could go defense.
So I actually think there's some decent odds out there right now on those particular players. The Cowboys are minus 225 to take a cornerback at William Hill. I bet it on my local at 6 to 1 or something like that. It's plus 450 on William Hill, offensive lineman first round for the Cowboys.
Ooh.
The cornerbacks that Byron Jones worked out, but he left. He never signed a second contract. And Maurice Claiborne, who they took at 6, was a disaster. Whereas they have really been able to identify high quality offensive line prospects in the first round. And that offensive line is not full of spring chickens.
So plus 450, I like better than plus 450, Javonte Williams, the first running back off the board.
Agreed.
Because I think that makes a lot more sense for the, even at 10, it makes some sense. Now, so here's what has to happen, I think. I think the Broncos and the Panthers have to take a cornerback at 7 and 8.
Well, 8 and 9, sorry. Now, there's also the possibility, I really think, and we can get into this, is when I'll go with my first bold prediction here, or my first prediction. The Chargers trade up for Penei Sewell, which flies in the face of y'all's. But I think that Lions at number 7, if we get quarterback, let's assume we get 3 quarterbacks, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, and Jalen Waddle 6 to the Dolphins. That's how I think the first 6 picks are going to go. If that happens, the Lions will have, with the Panthers sitting at 8, knowing the Panthers, how bad the Panthers want an offensive tackle, I think the Lions' phone will be blowing up with the Chargers and maybe the Cowboys calling to come up there and get Penei Sewell. Or maybe they love Rashawn Slater because they know what the Panthers might do at 8.
God, I think the Cowboys trade up, that would be idiotic. But go ahead.
Jumping from 10 to 8. 10 to 7, I mean. And you're grabbing Penei Sewell to be sort of the anchor because Tyron Smith is not exactly young.
Would you have to give up a second round pick or something? That's a lot for a team that's defense is straight up dog do.
Sure. I think more than likely the Cowboys sit where they are, but it wouldn't be shocking if, let's say, the Chargers trade up and get Penei Sewell at 7, which is what I'm going to have in my mock draft, because I believe Tom Telesco loves the idea of reuniting Penei Sewell with Justin Herbert. And you can do that for a second and third round pick. You go from 12 to 7. A little expensive, but you're not giving up a future first or anything.
Hey, they gave up whatever they gave last year to come back in and get Kenneth Murray. So they're willing to do that.
Right. So that's what I think could happen. The Chargers reunite him. They've been aggressive about attacking guys that they have high on their big board for a long time. Herbert. And if you look at the Chargers depth chart, do you remember last year when we were talking about this and looking at their depth chart and saying, there's no way that this team is going to go into, they had Tyrod Taylor, Easton Stick on their depth chart coming out of free agency. It was like, this is so obvious that they're trying to make us think they want to take a quarterback when that's not what they want to do. But they did indeed want to take a quarterback and they did indeed take Justin Herbert.
And that quarterback, who does he want the team to draft? Penei Sewell. But so
look at their left tackle spot. They have Trey Pipkins. A 2019 third round pick. That's it. They have a gaping hole at left tackle that would be perfect for Penei Sewell to fill. And there's a decent chance that he'll be there at 7.
I like this prediction, even though I'm predicting Sewell to not be in the top 10, but that would be because he's not going to fall below the Chargers who have the pick at 13. But if you're the Chargers, you see him drop to 8 or 9 or even 7, I guess. I don't know if they're going to want to trade up that high. Then I think you pull the trigger here because they did everything they could to beef up their offensive line. They added Corey Linsley. They added a guard from the Steelers. They have 2 new starters. And like you said, Brinson, that gaping hole at left tackle, Penei Sewell played with Justin Herbert for 2 years at Oregon. So, when you're lobbying for your team to draft a left tackle, it's because, hey, I know this guy's good. I've seen him play. This isn't like watching film. It's like this guy protected my blind side for 2 years. And the other thing is, Chargers aren't shy about trading up. We saw them do it last year with the Patriots. They were, after they drafted Herbert, they had no first round picks left. And then they traded 2 picks to move back into the first round, I think 23rd overall. And then we saw them do it, I think, in 2015
with Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, yep. In a news I broke. Remember, guys, 2015? they traded with the 49ers. They were in the 17th spot and moved up to 15th to take Gordon.
By the way,
is this Caleb Farley? What are you dancing about?
Oh, no. I was going to say shout out to Paramount Plus. If you're not watching soccer on Paramount Plus, the Champions League, Christian Pulisic just scored, baby.
Oh, I got the under in that game. Poop.
So it was a great goal. Anyway, that's
guys, of course they're not watching this. This is tomorrow and the game was yesterday to people listening.
Well, it was today when you wouldn't stop talking about the Chargers. I was trying to get my word in edgewise, but you kept talking. So
it's 15 minutes into the game they've already scored. That's trouble for me. Yeah, all right. Well, batten down the hatches, Chelsea, and put everybody back. Anyway, on the Chargers thing too, everything you hear about the Lions at 7, they want to trade back so badly. And I believe they will be willing to take less.
Ask you this though. Is it Brad Holmes all in on Jared Goff because they're both from LA, the Rams, or is it Chris Spielman, the president? I think he's the president. Is he going to pull the Ohio State card and want to have Justin Fields?
I think it is everyone realizing that the Lions roster is a disaster and that they can't drop a rookie quarterback in there right now with Jared Goff's 2 years of cap hits. Because you're just setting your cap on fire, even with those picks. I think they're just going to try and build up the roster and let Jared Goff go out there and sort of be a sacrificial lamb. And you worry about the quarterback as it moves along. That's how I feel. I think they want to trade back and they want to acquire additional draft picks. Trading back to 12 is not a problem. You're going to get a good player at 12. And so I think they'll be willing to trade from 12 to 7. And I guess there's a tangential, I guess Brandon Staley worked with Brad Holmes last year. So there's a little bit of connection there. Maybe, you know, call up your buddies. Hey, look, we'll get 12 to 7. You're not losing much. We'll get you some picks. We want to come up there and get our guy, Penei Sewell, to pair with Justin Herbert. So that's my prediction. And then it sort of dovetails into the possibility of the Cowboys going offensive line, because if we get Sewell at 7 and you get the Panthers and the Broncos to go cornerback and quarterback, there's a pretty good chance the Cowboys could go Rashawn Slater at 10, I think.
And Brinson talking himself into this bet he's going to win.
It's 6-1. I mean, I also took the Panthers to take a defensive back because I think that's a very good possibility. JC Horn.
They have no D-backs.
Yeah. I mean, people are saying they have to take a lineman, but maybe they get one in the second round. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more bold predictions.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Okay, so we just sort of jammed through like 8 different bowl predictions in one conversation, but we'll keep moving. And we have to talk about, of course, the 3rd overall pick, Breach. Give me your prediction for the 3rd overall pick.
Well, Brinson, it looks like you and I both have a bold prediction about this pick. And
Wilson has a pasty white vanilla prediction about the 3rd pick.
Imagine the draft guy being the confident one here.
I was looking at my notes. I said, I don't think it's pasty. Oh, I get it.
Yes. It's a pasty white beer-bellied bold prediction.
So my prediction here is twofold. Number one, it is that the 49ers have been smokescreening us all. Nobody actually knows what's going on. So I am going to say they take Trey Lance and that Mac Jones falls out of the top 10. That is my bold prediction. I feel like you guys should just go through yours and then we can.
Well, I've got my bold prediction is that they take Justin Fields 3rd overall.
That's because you have a vested interest in that happening.
I'm okay with Trey Lance at 3rd. It's the McCorkle Jones at 3rd that's going to kill me. And I understand. I got to tell you, the Kyle Shanahan press conference on Monday, I hadn't been nervous about Fields or Lance up until that. that felt like a man who is pre-defending a selection of Mac Jones third overall.
He is calling for Armageddon on Sunday. So you don't
not call even
for
Armageddon. That, just like the way he talked about the fans. So, you know what I mean? We can't base our moves on criticism. You gotta think about what's going to happen 10 years down the road and how you'll feel, you know, when it works out, not how you'll feel in the moment. It very much felt as if he was saying, you need to understand.
Buckle up. Yeah. That's right.
So not feeling great about that. If I could, I will be very curious. If people, we record this on Tuesday. People are listening on Wednesday. Wednesday of 2018 was when a little Baker Mayfield buzz started.
A little Baker Mayfield. That's coming along in 2 years.
The big Baker Mayfield buzz didn't come until Thursday morning. So I'm curious to see what comes out Wednesday afternoon and Thursday evening as it relates to the 49ers buzz, because everybody says all they're hearing is Mac Jones, but man, these guys are tight-lipped and no one can get any information out of them. So, you know, it kind of flies in the face. It juxtaposes each other. I'm going to go with Fields because I've been saying it for a long time that Fields would be the guy. I don't feel as great about it, obviously. You can get him at 550, William Hill. I've seen him up to 7-1. It's, if you are interested in betting on that third pick and want to take, you know, you can't take Mac Jones now because it's minus 350, but monitor the news. And if you see credible information coming out and, you know, follow our Twitter account and we'll send out notes about it, but it would be worth taking a stab at Trey Lance at 3-1 or Justin Fields at 5.5-1. If draft day or draft eve buzz builds that the 49ers are going in one of those directions.
What is Trey Lance at third overall?
Plus 275.
Oh, there you go. All right. My bold prediction is Jamin Davis, Pete's guy, is the first linebacker off the board. I think we've talked about it in the past, but it's plus 1,000. And that, to me, feels very real because Michael Parsons, the Penn State linebacker, could fall because of maturity concerns. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah plays sort of a safety linebacker hybrid, so who knows if he goes early or late. Saban Collins is up to 270 now. Is he an edge rusher, which he didn't do much of in college, hardly none at all, or an off-ball linebacker? And Jamin Collins, who's sort of getting the late media buzz, maybe ends up going in the middle of the first round.
If that happens, I don't care if I lose every single other one of my draft bets. Because I got Jamin Davis at 65-1.
Did Prisco talk you into that, like Wilson was saying? Because just real quick, Prisco's mock, he has Jamin Davis in the top 10. Now that's nice overall to the Broncos. And that's his, the first linebacker, first defense player.
But that's his what should they do. He loves Jamin Davis. Yeah, he said that's not his what he thinks will happen.
He has another coming out Thursday, I think.
Yeah, that's his what he thinks what team should do.
Right. So he's high on Jamin Davis.
Like he has Fields going second instead of Zach Wilson.
I have in my final mock draft, which comes out Thursday morning, I have Jamin Davis going. Not so high. I have him going 26 to the Browns just because of the way that things fell. I have some.
You have him 19th right now, so you're dropping him 7 spots.
The only reason I had him going 19th last in the 3-round mock draft, so I could send Micah Parsons to the Browns to torpedo Josh Edwards' Browns team. That was my plan from the inside.
Sounds vindictive. Is that how these
You know how about being vindictive in the AFC North breach?
I don't think I don't think the Panthers would take Davis at 8. I think the Broncos would at least consider it. I wouldn't rule out the Cowboys for him at 10.
And Sean Lee just announced his retirement.
Sean Lee just retired. Leighton Vander Esch has been dealing with neck injuries really ever since his second year.
He might only have 1 year left on his deal, maybe.
I think they're already regretting the Jalen Smith contract. I don't think it's insane to suggest that the Cowboys could take Jamin Davis at 10.
Which is why I think they shouldn't trade up, because they need those picks.
And then there's some other landing spots in there. The Raiders are reportedly like him, although they also like Collins. The Cardinals could be a landing spot for Jamin Davis potentially. Washington at 19. First linebacker taken, you're gonna have to dodge 2 or 3, you know, shots there. But Micah Parsons could 9, and it could be out the window immediately. Who knows? We'll see.
Right.
But if Jamin Davis is the first linebacker taken, and you're right, I will be shredding my pants on Thursday evening.
65-1. Can I ask how much you put down?
Sure.
You can tell me or not?
Oh, it's more than it has. It's 3 figures by it.
3 digit? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes, it would be quite the payday. It's left it up there. It was stale. I just kept adding 10 bucks to it every day until finally just over 100.
There you go. All right. Good luck.
Yeah. Hope it hits. We'll see. All right, Breach. I'll go with one. I'm going to say this is pretty bold, I think. Three running backs go in the first round.
Is that bolder than my two running backs go in the first round?
Dude, you had two running backs in the first round. Yeah.
All right. That is bold.
Brenton is here trying to out-bold Wilson. Minus four running backs will go in the first round.
It's really more of a discussion, I think, Wilson, about
here, how... Before you go on, I did some research because I had to write this for CBS Sports on Wednesday, and let me give you some fun facts, as Breach likes to say. The running back part, where is it? There it is. So from 2011 to 2020, those 10 drafts, how many times do you think more than one running back went in round one?
2011 to 2020?
Those three. 10 drafts. So Breach,
I'm going to say three. Five.
Four. So good guess. So okay, four times did you have multiple running backs. And in 20, in two of those years, no running backs were drafted at all. So between 2000 and 2009, excuse me, how many times do you think at least two running backs went in the first round?
All of them.
Every single year. Are you cheating, Breach, or are you new?
No, it's just my guess. The way the position's changed.
Yeah. So I three is extremely bold. Three actually went, in 2018 when we had Saquon, Rashad Penny, and Sonny Michel. And we had two go.
I think you're, oh yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah. So
two went the year before that.
And that was a total shock though. The 2018 one was a shock. Like
we talked about that yesterday.
Right. Cause Penny and then Michel, no one thought three running backs were getting taken that year.
Last year we thought there would be one, but we didn't think it would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So anyway, you have three going. I want to hear how this plays out.
Well,
and in 2012, you had Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, and David Wilson.
David Wilson, that's right. Look, again, it's a really bold prediction. I do think I would take the over 1.5 plus money because it was juiced to the under before. Now, on my site, William Hill doesn't have a running back prop right now. On my site, it is over under half a running back. But the over is minus 263. Cause I think we all believe one of these teams is going to take Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, right?
Yeah, one of them. But it's two of them going to take, or three of them going to take the three total. That's the thing.
I think Javonte Williams can sneak into the first round.
He can, but then.
He could easily be an early second round pick. It wouldn't be shocking.
I'm asking for the three teams that are going to take these. That's what I want to know. Who are the three teams?
The Dolphins, the Steelers, and the Bills.
But a lot. So what's the percentage chance at all three of them? Is it higher than 15%?
Well, Real Madrid has already tied it up. Good thing I took the under.
Probably not. I would say it's like 10%, but I mean, it's at least within the realm of reason for a bold prediction.
Yeah. No, that's right. I'm just trying to just get a gauge on the numbers.
I think two is, I mean, the over under is probably 1.5 and it's heavily juiced to the under on the.
It has to be 1.5.
Total right? Running backs drafted the over 1.5. I'm on BetMGM, is plus 150.
There you go. I would rather take the plus 150 over 1.5. I may just lay 263 and take the over a half. Is that insane? That's kind of insane, right?
Why? It's going to go
like
over
a lock.
We're getting one, right?
Back taking the first round.
You just got to lay a bunch of juice to do it is the only problem. It's when what happens is with those, I did a couple of juicy Oscar props too. The problem with it is,
lose all your money betting on Chadwick?
No. I actually had.
That's good.
But you get on the, they're like doing, it's like best makeup and you took, you know, I was reading, so it was like minus 400 and I bet, you know, to win $50 or something. And you're like, oh my God, if they announce something else, it's going to be kind of a backbreaker. It's just a lot of juice. So minus 263, a little scary. Breach, give us another bold prediction.
My third bold prediction isn't exactly draft related, but it is because it's going to happen during the draft. I'm going to say Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded on Thursday or Friday, one of the first 2 days of the draft. Look, Kyle Shanahan could not have been more blunt. The last time we saw someone be this direct was in Les Snead basically said, Jared Goff's our quarterback right now. And that meant not much longer. And if Kyle Shanahan is saying, I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday when he gets asked if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the roster the day after the draft. That is screaming that this guy is going to be traded. So I think he gets traded on Thursday or Friday. The only reason I'm throwing in Friday is because I think he's going to be traded for a second round pick. So teams might wait till after the first round's over. But I do think a Thursday draft's possible because the team's going to know if they have a quarterback. If they have Jimmy on their team, that's one less need you have. I think he goes to the Patriots, but I think other candidates would be the Broncos, Panthers, and the bold one, the Dolphins.
I'm going to say there's a 1% chance, maybe less than that he goes to the Patriots. I just don't see it.
Wait, did you just suggest that he's going to get traded to the Dolphins?
That was the Super Bowl part.
That is bold.
Yeah, a lot of Super Bowl.
The Patriots, Broncos, and Panthers are the, with the Patriots being the main prediction. You don't think they would do it?
I'll say this. I think it's more likely that Teddy Bridgewater gets traded during the draft than it is that Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded.
Yeah, I don't even think that's what JLC's been reporting. I don't even know if that's bold.
I'm not necessarily saying it is bold. The thing with Teddy Bridgewater is, if you saw James Palmer of NFL Network, who's pretty connected with Denver, said that he believes the Broncos will not be hotly pursuing a quarterback in the first round because they believe they have other options at the position later. I think it's Teddy, because George Patton, the GM, was there when they drafted Teddy in Minnesota. And Teddy's the perfect complement to Drew Lock. If you don't want to challenge Drew Lock too much and you don't want to risk having a guy like Trey Lance, who might not be ready. So you can add a defensive player, Jamin Davis, please, at 9. And then you trade a third round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, who restructures his deal to come work for Patton again. So that's what I would say happens. But Breach, you believe it could be Patriots.
Jimmy to the Patriots for a second round pick.
I also think that the Pats, now if they take Mac Jones at third, it's a whole different ballgame. Because maybe they just want to let Mac play. But I think Kyle Shanahan wants two quarterbacks who can win this year. Or two quarterbacks that he thinks he can win with this year and next year.
I don't know how you look Jimmy Garoppolo in the eye
right
after everything that's happened over the past. He just won the press conference, not just made the roster thing, but he said we made this trade because we like five quarterbacks.
It's better than
the one we have.
It's like Kyle Shanahan went into Jimmy's house, stared him in the face, pulled his pants down, and took a dump on the floor while staring him in the face the whole time and said, what? What's up?
Is there a problem here?
clean that up, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. And then he fired him.
See, to me, this reminds me a lot more of Alex Smith in 2017. This is the end of the run.
That was a classy ending.
But you've got a chance to play this whole season, if you play really well, to let my quarterback that I just drafted sit. And to earn yourself some money somewhere else.
But here's the difference is that Andy Reid had a front row seat to Patrick Mahomes for a year in practice. So like they knew how good he was. It wasn't just based on college film. You have the 49ers who are taking a total gamble and there's no like assurance that this quarterback is going to be better than Garoppolo. I mean, you'd like to think he is because you're trading up to the third spot, but it's not a given.
Alex Smith was healthy and he kept going to the playoffs. I mean, Jimmy G has not been healthy. And when they've gotten to the playoffs, he hasn't done everything that Shanahan wanted him to do. I think it's different.
Risky.
I'm just telling you that's all right, I feel like they want two quarterbacks because if you have a rookie, think
it's more likely that Shanahan, what's the percent chance that Jimmy Garoppolo is in San Francisco on September 15th?
I think it's like 75%.
Week one. You want to make a bet? Should we make a bet here?
I think it's 25%. So that's perfect.
Okay. So, yeah. Let's make a bet.
Okay. All right. Ryan Finley tattoo to the loser. So maybe
tattoo of a $10 bill and an actual $10 bill.
Maybe I'll get two Ryan Finley tattoos. All right, here's mine because I'm tired of messing around. There will be no trade-ups until pick 9 at the earliest because I think there could be a glut after the first three picks of teams that want to stay where they are and get the most value. Because if the Falcons stay at 4 and they're not taking a quarterback, why would they trade down and not get Kyle Pitts? Like if you love Kyle Pitts as much as we all seem to, I think you're not going to get him if you go past 6, like literally, the Bengals would probably think about it and the Dolphins would take him. So the Bengals at 5, they're going to have either Panay or Jamar. So if you trade down, you're getting needed of those guys. The Dolphins at 6 traded back up from 12 when they were down there for 15 minutes because they presumably wanted to get a playmaker for Tua or maybe worst case you get Panay or Rashawn or whoever you like. The Lions at 7. You seem to think, Brinson, they're not going quarterback, but I just wonder if they're staring two quarterbacks in the face. And then you look to your right and you see Jared Goff and you go, we're fine with Jared Goff. I think that you at least think about it.
And the Trey Lance timeline fits for Detroit in terms of, you roll Jared Goff out this year and let Lance sit and learn. And then, but then all of a sudden, if you let Lance sit and learn, he played one game in 2 years.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, Aaron Rodgers sat for 2 years. He turned out fine. Okay. At 8, the Carolina Panthers, same thing. There'll be a quarterback there potentially that they may want, or maybe even a cornerback, or maybe one of these offensive linemen. And then at 9, maybe the Broncos is where you start to see some movement, a team trading up, the Patriots or whoever, and the Broncos are willing to move down because, as you know, they don't sound like they're in the quarterback business. So I don't remember. I didn't go check this. I don't remember the last time we didn't have a trade in the top 8, but I think that would be pretty pretty amazing given how we keep talking about these quarterbacks is all going in the top 12 or whatever.
It has probably been a while since that happened. And yeah, it would be this, if there was going to be a draft where that was the case, I think this is it though, because 7 and 9 maybe are inflection points, but I agree with you. 1 through 6, I don't see anybody trading, especially with the Falcons just sort of, they're not going to get the price they want to move out of 4 into a spot they want. You know, there's no team. Like maybe if the Broncos came up from 9, they would do it, but you know, there's nobody else.
The Patriots traded
there wasn't a trade in the top 8 last year, was there?
I can't remember that.
I don't think there was. Because it was the home draft. And I remember that was ended up being the excitement was just watching Bill Belichick's dog draft. And those were all the highlights because nothing crazy happened unless I could be mistaken.
The first trade was at 13. Yeah, you're right. When the Bucks came up for Tristan Wirfs in San Francisco.
So no top 10.
That was also, I think part of that was a reticence to make a trade because you know you got to do it all over Zoom with people in different rooms. And so, yeah. But I think, you know, that applies here too. Maybe you can even say top 10, there won't be a trade. Okay.
Saucy.
More. I will say that, this sort of dovetails into what we talked about earlier, but I'll just go ahead and get my last one up there. JC Horn, first defensive player taken.
What are the odds?
It is plus four. No, I had it right there. Plus 450. No, it's got to be better than that, doesn't it?
Wow. That's the same as the first running back taken, Javonte Williams, and the other 450, the offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater.
Oh, Lord. This is terrible. Plus 275.
Ooh, so that's moved.
Yeah, that's moved way down.
Because I don't hate.
I got it at plus 300.
I got it about 3 to 1 for JC Horn first defense.
I got it at plus 3 million, which is weird, but okay.
I would say this. So if you want to bet on if you think JC Horn goes above Patrick Surtain, you should take first defensive player taken instead of first cornerback taken, right?
It's better. Yeah, because they'll be the first. That's right.
Those two guys. I mean, Micah Parsons could spoil it. He's 4 to 1, but right. I don't think so.
Right.
If you basically have to dodge Micah Parsons at 9, and then you should be good. And you might have already won it if the Panthers take JC Horn before that.
One monkey wrench could be if Gettleman takes like an edge rusher at 11, which has been bandied about. So that would be a shock.
That happens. I'm in a world of hurt, I think.
But that just assumes that at 8 or 9 or 10, a cornerback doesn't go. And I think
if Gettleman does that at 11, do you think it means that Rashawn Slater is off the board?
It's so hard to tell what Gettleman's going to do. I don't know. Like the answer is I don't know. There could be the situation where both those guys, Rashawn Slater and Panay Sewell, are gone by then. But you know, like Gettleman is like a true wild card. Like we talk about John Schneider, like Gettleman is right up there.
He thinks outside the box, but not like the way normal people do, right, but he's right. Like in another box. So he's still inside the box, but outside the box.
Right. So I bet on Giants first pick offensive lineman, plus 622.
When was the first draft related prop bet you made? How long ago was it?
This year's draft, 2017.
Yeah. Like
this
January?
Year or like within my life
in the 2021 draft season is like January when you start or do you wait?
No, they're not using that up until then. So the first one that I made, let me just scroll back here and I'll tell you, was JC. Or I made a group of them. I only regret one of them.
That's good.
I made 3 of them on April 12th.
Oh, that was your first one?
That's the first time they're available to me, really.
Oh, okay. So you haven't
I've been eyeing them for maybe a couple of days and I just didn't want the juice to move. So I got JC Horn under 13.5. Rashawn Slater, under 10.5. I thought it was 11.5. Not good. Yep. And then I took over 5.5 quarterbacks at plus 350, which I regret.
Yeah.
And then I got a bunch of Jamar Chase under, Mac Jones over, and Fields 3, and then added a bunch of Kyle Pitts under as well.
Okay. So you can't even if you wanted to do this in January, for example.
Some places will offer it, but usually no. Usually it starts after free agency, once you know the full draft order and all that.
All right. 5 minutes. Let's go. 5 minutes. What can we do in 5 minutes?
Well, we're almost done. You don't need to be a jerk about it. My bowl predictions are toast. Speaking of my over 5.5 quarterbacks, wait.
There you go.
What's yours bowl prediction, Wilson?
6 quarterbacks in Pete Prisco voice. Go in round 1. We know the big 5. I just wonder if there's going to be some team that maybe the Buccaneers at 32, I think Pete Prisco had them taking a quarterback in his what I would do mock draft, Davis Mills, who is not my number 6 quarterback. Kellen Mond is. I wouldn't take either Kellen Mond nor Davis Mills in round 1, but that doesn't mean some team won't. So whether a team at the bottom of the first round thinks about doing it like the Saints or the Buccaneers, whether a team trades up like the Bears or Washington football team back into the bottom of first round, we just talked about Jason Okafor saying the Ravens want to trade down. So maybe a team wants to trade up for a quarterback just to get that fifth year option. Again, I wouldn't do it for either of these quarterbacks, but you know, the other side of the argument is you can go look at the first round quarterbacks that have been taken the last 10, 15 years or whatever. And invariably you'll find out that half of them sucked. So, you know, if you like a quarterback, take them. At the end of the day, you can never have enough quarterbacks to sort of parrot what Kyle Shanahan was trying to tell Jimmy Garoppolo when he broke up with him. But yeah, so six quarterbacks going round one. What are the odds on that?
Plus 425.
For five and a half.
It's actually gone way up since I bet on it, which is always fun.
And you know what? It's not that crazy to think because it only takes one team to want to trade up back up into the round. You know, like the Packers taking Jordan Love last year. You have a surprise, or the Ravens when they traded back up, take Lamar Jackson with the final pick of the first round. We saw Paxton Lynch out of nowhere get 26th overall. So once you get past that 25th spot, there's usually a random team that comes in and takes a quarterback because they want the fifth year option. You don't want to take the guy in the second round because they only get a 4-year contract. Cause if he pans out, boom, you got him under contract for 5 years. So, I don't think it would be crazy to see that, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater's another one, like Lamar, who was taken with the final pick in the first round.
The under on this, by the way, is -714.
Yeah.
Traditionally speaking, this doesn't happen. You have like Jordan Love was a surprise in that the Packers took him there and that he was.
Yeah, but Breach just mentioned Teddy B and Lamar. Sure. So it has happened.
But all the guys that we're sort of mentioning there were bandied about as first round picks.
Yeah, that's right.
Now that's Mills, the only problem is like Davis Mills, you know,
or Davis Love.
Davis Love or, you know, Kellen Mond.
That's right. They have not.
Yeah. I mean, I would trade that bet back in if I could do it over again, but you know, you get the fifth year option. And to the same point with the running backs that we talked about going to the first round, I think there's a chance that some of these teams look at this and say, man, there's not a lot of safety out there, you know, or the Bears are out. They miss out on all the quarterbacks. And so they trade down and take Davis Mills in the first round. That's not crazy either.
Yeah, no, that's right. I was talking about the Bears trading back up in the middle round too, but they could trade down from 20 for sure. Cause they need cornerbacks. They need offensive tackles and all those could be gone. Like, yeah, we'll move down to 30. With the Bills, so they can trade up and get Travis Etienne or whatever, and we'll take Davis Mills.
All right, Breach, you got one more. Naturally, it involves a trade, not involving the draft.
It involves a trade because we've been talking about trades all week. Julio Jones gets traded to the Titans. Maybe it happens in the draft, but probably not because it has to be a post-June 1st trade. But I love it because you know who the coach of the Falcons is? Arthur Smith. You know where he came from? Tennessee. You know who needs a weapon right now because they just lost Jonnu Smith? The Tennessee Titans. Boom. Arthur's going to call up Vrabel, say, hey, look, you want Julio? Give us a decent offer. We'll make it happen. The Titans need weapons. They have a small Super Bowl window. They're in it right now. They need someone to replace Jonnu Smith. Obviously, it doesn't have to be tight end. You just need someone who can catch the ball and help A.J. Brown out there so that he's not the only receiver. I think it would be a good fit. So
that is the total lack of cap space a concern for you?
I mean, you figure that out. That's, you restructure contracts. You have Ryan Tannehill.
You figure that out.
No, I mean, you can restructure contracts. We've seen it happen all the time. You talk to Ryan Tannehill. He's got the biggest contract on the team. There's a lot of things you can do with a lot of different players. Maybe you tell Julio Jones, you sign here, we'll restructure so that your $15 million cap, it's only $15 million. So that's not huge for.
Oh, it's June 1, right?
Right. So it's doable.
Wait, is that how that works?
Breach is just making it up.
No, I'm pretty sure his cap hit would be 15 point, maybe. It's his salary. It's his base salary. It's all the team would have to pay for.
Mr. Breach, we're going to need you to tender your resignation.
I don't know. I don't know if that, I don't know how that works actually. So the Falcons will save $15 million in cap space after June 1st. If he's traded after June 1st, but I think that you would still have a $23 million cap hit for Julio and his contract is fully guaranteed, I think.
Well, you only have to pay part of the $23 million cap hit is his signing bonus, which the Titans or whoever gets him would not have to worry about. So at
$15.3 million cap hit for the Titans.
Right. For the team that's acquiring him.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So it's technically doable potentially.
All right. Great show, guys.
Ryan's got to go do something, I guess.
Is it a podcast with?
Oh yeah, is it a podcast with another CBS NFL editor who doesn't?
It's just a little something called CBS Sports HQ with our guy Petey Prisco. We're going to do our final mock draft show from 4 to 5. So
nice.
If you don't see it live, you can go see it on YouTube/CBS Sports HQ.
All right. Go check that out. And that's it for the Bold Prediction Show. We will be back tomorrow with burning questions. And tomorrow, by the way, NFL Draft Day. It's here. Welcome to Cleveland, Wilson.
See you guys later. Yeah, I'll be driving to Cleveland, so send me tweets of where I should go.
There's nowhere to go. You got to eat in Akron.
Done.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.